reach for a strong hand from someplace. By Beyond Today, writers Peter Eddington and Tom Robinson. The world is facing a flood of problems. Many of us feel the world around us is sinking into chaotic and immoral depths. Can we trust elected officials or government organizations to rescue us? Will anyone reach down to save us? National elections in the United States and other countries have highlighted a host of issues that threaten our world and the inadequacy of human government to meet these threats. None of the presidential and prime ministerial candidates in any country has what it takes or the courage and godliness to solve our myriad problems. No matter who wins in elections around the globe, everything remains chaotic and dangerous, from the economy to war and instability to utter depravity. Many look to a political favorite to fix our problems, and perhaps one side versus another could help stall, for a short period, that which is being torn down. Even if a nation is not turning to God as a whole, the more its political leadership turns to God, the better, the less harm will be done. But this won't ultimately fix everything, especially when wrong paths have been long pursued. It's as if even the most successful countries take one step forward and then two steps back. The long-term trends are dismal. Some see the mounting crises as hopeless no matter what and are in despair. Yet there is great cause for hope, but not where many seek it. Around 55 years ago in 1969, a remarkable assessment appeared in U.S. News & World Report that could still be said today, yet with even more concern. The once optimistic hope of Americans for a well-ordered and a stable world is fading. Among officials, the prevailing view is gaining acceptance that frictions and world problems are becoming too deep-seated to be solved, except by a strong hand from someplace. Many imagined then, and still do, that strong hand to be a human political solution. But looking to men will lead to disappointment and disaster. No man can save us. The saving hand we need is the only one that can truly save. It's the same one President George Washington famously spoke of in his first inaugural address. No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. Only that intervening mighty hand of God can and will reach down to rescue mankind. The true Savior is coming to save. The foolish fantasy of human global government. While a great many people look to their particular national movements to make things right, many others around the world have sought solidarity in internationalist movements. The dream of many, especially among the world's elites, is for a global government. Even Winston Churchill said while prime minister, "The creation of an authoritative, all-powerful world order is the ultimate aim toward which we must strive." Unless some effective world supergovernment can be brought quickly into action, the proposals for peace and human progress are dark and doubtful. The United Nations and other international bodies have been promoted as vehicles of global governance, but they have been severe failures in so many ways. Some say the problem is they are too limited by individual national interests, that they should be given more authority over the world's nations. Some want to grant more power to institutions like the World Health Organization and other globalist enterprises. But would these really work, or rather serve to rob people of their liberties? A major problem is that these are all made up of fallible human beings who suffer from a corrupt nature. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 and verse 23, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, none who seeks after God. There is none who does good, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And he further explained in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, "The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so." Psalm chapter 146, verse 3 admonishes, "Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help." And the prophet Jeremiah further warns us in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, whose heart turns away from the Lord." Nonetheless, people look to fallible human leaders to save us and our world. Moreover, fearing chaos and war, many say we need a powerful single ruler, an enlightened despot to force through all that needs to be done to save us. Years ago, respected historian Arnold Toynbee said, "By forcing on mankind more and more lethal weapons, and at the same time making the whole world more and more interdependent economically, technology has brought mankind to such a degree of distress that we are ripe for deifying any new Caesar who might succeed in giving the world unity and peace. Is this what we need? A powerful human ruler to enforce peace and law and order? Do we need a new Caesar?" Prophecy reveals the rise of just such a leader who will bring terrible tyranny. The book of Revelation calls him and his empire the beast, given power by Satan the devil. Our world is held captive. The situation in which our world finds itself has been powerfully represented by a photo illustration showing an image of the Earth from space edited to portray the Earth locked inside a cage. Our planet is in jail, held captive by a powerful, evil force. The corrupted hearts of mankind are bent toward wickedness and war. This is especially due to the malevolent influence of Satan. As the Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, "The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." Yes, our world is held captive, needing to escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. All is so twisted that what is crooked cannot be made straight, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 15. God looks down from his throne and sees our world wandering in confusion and destruction, languishing under Satan's lies and rapacious rule. The words of General Douglas MacArthur at the end of World War II still warn us: military alliances, balances of power, leagues of nations, all in turn failed, leaving the only path to be by way of the crucible of war. The utter destructiveness of war now blots out this alternative. We have had our last chance. If we do not now devise some greater and more equitable system, Armageddon will be at our door. The problem basically is theological and involves a spiritual recrudescence or renewal and improvement of human character. It must be of the spirit if we are to save the flesh. Indeed, it must. Yet things will at a certain point get so bad that society will devolve into the worst time of trouble ever, with it looking like no one would survive, and then God will intervene. The Lord will come with a strong hand. Little did those reporting decades ago about the need for a strong hand from someplace really understand what is truly necessary in face of the world's deep-seated problems. George Washington would have recognized the need as the invisible hand of divine intervention. And this is exactly what God will ultimately provide. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed of the time of the end in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10, "Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him." Grieved and angry at the wicked tyranny and dereliction of duty of the world's rulers, God declares he will finally take action to upend wayward civilization. I was amazed to see that no one intervened to help the oppressed, so I myself stepped in to save them with my strong arm, and my wrath sustained me. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 5, New Living Translation. This will find fulfillment in the return of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when a trumpet will announce that the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. God will bring judgment on evil, but as Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11 shows, he will care for and nurture those who are humble before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. This is the great hope of mankind. Verses 3 and 6 in Isaiah chapter 40 are part of the message to be proclaimed in preparation for the Messiah's coming. It ultimately applies to the second coming of Christ, but Jesus' loving leadership was demonstrated in his first coming, and we see it in his care for his people today. When Christ returns, his deliverance will be from not just evil rule and catastrophic world conditions, but from the wrong ways of thinking leading to these. Indeed, for the world to change, not only does the leadership need to change, but human hearts need to change. That will happen as the world is then taught the ways of God and has the Spirit of God poured out to bring inner transformation. The process is already beginning with God's people now. The rescue of the world requires not just Christ's rule over us, but Him giving us personal help for the overcoming of our problems. None of us can save ourselves, the world collectively, or each of us individually. We all need this strong hand and arm of the Lord, His intervening power. Like Peter while sinking, take God's hand now. The biblical account of Jesus walking on the water, recorded in Matthew 14:22-33, is about more than a miraculous display of power. The Apostle Peter plays an important part in the story. When Jesus, in walking on the Sea of Galilee, approached the apostles' boat, Peter asked if he could come out to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Come." Peter did so, walking on the sea too, but with the boisterous wind and waves he was afraid and started to sink, crying out, "Lord, save me!" Then, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, asking him why he doubted. This was the intervening strong arm of the Lord. Like Peter, all of us would sink without it. Peter could not stay atop the churning sea and keep from drowning on his own. Neither can we. Neither can the whole world. And the governments of this world cannot give the truly needed deliverance. Only God can through Christ, in both personal salvation and the bringing of the kingdom of God to the whole world. God will reach down into the madness of our world to lay hands on us and rescue us, pulling us up to be with Him. You can turn to Him now and grasp His hand, repent and receive the eternal hope that comes from His forgiveness. Look to the promise of eternal life upon Jesus' return. When Paul reflected on his own sinful attitudes and actions, he cried out in Romans 7:24-25, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" He then declared, "I thank God, deliverance will come through Jesus Christ our Lord, and so it will be for all humanity when Jesus Christ reigns over the earth." We will see humankind rescued by a strong, providential, intervening hand from above. Let's all pray for that great rescue to come swiftly, and pray that you can be part of the solutions Jesus will bring to transform the world.
For more helpful content, visit us online at ucg.org.